welcome, honey. Without further introduction, there's Brad.
Well, thanks for allowing me to come and share with you this morning. We're going to be taking a look at the transgender issue that is so prevalent around us. There's an outline, or actually a copy of the slideshow that's going to be seen on the screen, so you're welcome to follow along with that. If you want, I sent it this morning to Pastor Bruce. I can give you the outline of what I'm going to be talking about, so it's a little bit easier to digest, along with all the references to where the information comes from. I can also send you, because I sent it to Pastor Bruce, the article that I wrote for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Family Ministry regarding this issue. Back in March, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Family Ministry reached out to me and said, Brad, could you write an article about transgenderism? We can publish it, and it can be a resource to families, to church workers, and the like. One of the fascinating things they offered in the email was this: we can publish it anonymously if you'd like. I thought that was a very telling remark regarding the times in which you live. Well, I talked to my wife, Kelly, and I talked to our Dean of Education, Jim Pingle, and I said, I'm willing to put my name on this, but I just want to be clear with everybody on what they offered. And so Kelly and Jim were both on board and said, yeah, please go ahead and do that. So it came out in April. And so it's a prose version of what I'm talking about. Before it was published, I sent the manuscript to Dr. Beverly Yonke. Dr. Beverly Yonke served at Concordia University, Wisconsin, in our School of Psychology, in the Department of Psychology for years. She's been in private practice for years as a Christian counselor. And now she works with doxology, part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's ministry for mental health and spiritual care for people. And so I ran it past her and I said, Dr. Yonke, just double check to make sure the research is all sound and what I'm saying is scripturally sound too. And she said, yes. She speaks on this issue all over the country. We brought her in our School of Education at Concordia University, Wisconsin, to talk to our future teachers to help them understand this issue. So she gave me the green light and said, yeah, it's all good. Go ahead. So you can read an article on this. You can read the outline of what I'm going to talk about today that the article is based off of, but we'll take a look at this information and the times in which we live. So what's fascinating is when I was teaching at Milwaukee Lutheran High School over a decade ago, I started telling the kids, this is an issue that's out there. You can change your biological sex and you can choose how you identify. And so it's before this became so prevalent all over the place. The reason being is graduates would go off to a university and come back and report as freshmen. Mr. Alice, they asked us at orientation what our name was, where we were from, and what was our preferred gender pronoun. And so that was the first time I had ever heard of anything like this. And so, again, the question was, well, what does that mean? And they said, well, do you want he or she, or do you want Z? All right, do you want something gender neutral? And so I started preparing the kids at Milwaukee Lutheran, since 90% of our kids at the time were going off to college, hey, this is what you're going to run into. So I started researching more and more and more, and now here's where we are. If we go to the next slide, the first 9 slides you're going to see are not on the outline, but it's just an understanding of where we are. Since I'm in the School of Education, I teach foundations of education and teaching the faith. 60% of our kids go off to public school, 40% go off to Lutheran school. But you can notice from some of these titles on the screen, these are children's books, and they're geared for children from little on. When we talk about sex ed at Concordia, in Foundations of Education, I help the kids understand 24 states mandate sex education in the United States. There are 2 branches of sex ed. One is called risk avoidance. One is called comprehensive sex ed. Comprehensive sex ed runs K-12, and there is nothing left to the imagination. It is unbelievably depraved. And so I'm not going to detail that now, but this is part of it. They talk about the transgender issue quite a bit. So Drag Queen Story Hour, you've seen in public schools, at libraries, you've seen quite a bit of pushback on this. And again, the charge being, well, then you're transphobic if you don't subscribe to what we believe. Next week, when I'm back, I'll talk about cultural Marxism and where transphobia, the charge that you have some irrational fear of this, came from. We've got to understand what the attack is. If we go to the next slide, this first occurred in North Carolina schools, the gender unicorn. And so you teach children your biological sex is one thing, and then how you identify is another, and then what you're attracted to or who you're attracted to is another thing. They also have, let's go to the next slide, the gender bred person. And so again, notice this is geared for children, and you teach the children from little on. So next week we'll talk about this. This was part of a purposeful desire by Marxists who came here in the 1930s. And so this didn't start last week. It didn't start 2 years ago or 10 years ago. This stuff has been growing in the United States for decades. So we'll talk about that next week. I want you to read this to yourself from Portland, Oregon, and first and second grade resource on sexuality. So is there boy? Is there girl? Is there both? Is there neither? You'll have some resources to say there's two, male and female. You'll have some who say there's boy, girl, both, neither. You have some who say it's an infinite number. You can't restrict it to two or four, all right? If you go to the next slide, here's an illustration from the book for these children. Hard to read. Again, I can send you the slide deck if you'd like it, but bottom line is on the left, person with a penis, on the right, person with a vulva, and then it labels all the genitalia. The small print at the bottom says, a lot of times people with these body types are boys, but not always. And on the other side, a lot of times people with these body types are girls, but not always, all right? And so now, basic biology, genitalia, gonads, XX or XY chromosome, basic biology goes out the window. And so we need to understand that. Again, we'll talk more about where this has come from next week when we talk about cultural Marxism. Because I'm helping the future teachers, we need to understand some impacts. So let's take a look at some of them here. One, what are you going to teach regarding how many sexes? Is there two? Is there four? Is it an infinite number? Let's go to the next slide. What is your preferred gender pronoun? So he, she, some people use Z-E. So in a sentence, it would sound like this. Brad spoke at Lamb of God. Z is bald, all right? And so if you don't know how I identify, you pick a gender-neutral pronoun, Z-E. Sometimes it's spelled X-E. You have a whole creation of new words, and that's why I say to these future teachers, what are you going to do when you're teaching pronouns? I, you, he, she, it, we, you, they, and then do you need to teach Z, here, et cetera, et cetera. Next slide. Policies regarding the use of facilities on campus. What is the policy for the bathroom? What is the policy for the locker room? What if you have an overnight? Your team makes it to state. You have to travel. Can anyone go into anybody's hotel room? Because again, you identify as this or you identify as that. Sports is what a lot of our future teachers are going to be involved in. They're going to be involved in coaching. And so that's to be understood, that this has to be addressed. On the screen, let's go back. On the screen is Leah Thomas, most notably winning NCAA swimming championships, biological male. Just this last week, I don't know if you heard about Dr. Melody Wisehart. Dr. Melody Wisehart, the 50-year-old male who beat 13 to 17-year-old girls in swimming. And so the celebration of Dr. Melody Wisehart, the 50-year-old biological male, beat 13 to 17-year-old girls. Good for you, Dr. Wisehart. And so this reality is all over the place. And so our students need to understand what they believe, and then what are you going to do? And do you want to work in a school district that comprises and supports this? So now on the outline that you can get from Pastor Bruce, and the information on the outline that the slideshow has been reproduced on. Just some stats. UCLA has a thing called the Williams Institute, a large transgender study section of the university. They point out over 1.6 million people identify, but the bulk are teenagers. If you go to the next slide, what you'd find, though, is there's been an increase in youth identifying, but not in the adult population. And so what's fascinating, let's go to the next slide. What's fascinating, next slide, is the reality of this is not evenly dispersed over every state. And so Wyoming has the smallest amount of transgender, New York the highest. You can see where Wisconsin is, and then the average. If you go to the next slide, it seems to be that there's issues regarding maybe what educational policy is or the politics of the region, all right? Is it a red state? Is it a blue state? Whatever. So again, Williams Institute just speculates. There's no information on why this is, but it is this way. It's not evenly distributed across the states. Let's go to the next one. If you would look at the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM, the term used in the past was the Gender Identity Disorder, or GID. Gender Identity Disorder, or GID. That has been changed to Gender Dysphoria. Disorder seems to have the connotation that there's something wrong, and that's why the APA, American Psychological Association, did away with the term disorder. There's nothing wrong with these individuals. There's dysphoria. Dysphoria is a restlessness and anxiety, and so it has to be dealt with. So let's go to the next slide. So the DSM is the Bible, if you will, for American Psychological Association. It's abbreviated DSM. The fifth version that came out in May of 23 said this. Take a look at the numbers. Next slide. A very small percentage of males identify this. Next slide. A very small percentage, even smaller percentage of females identify as this, all right? But historically, next slide, this has normally been little boys, early ages, 2 to 4 years old. I'm a girl. That's really what this was, all right? And what you'd find is they would move beyond this as a phase all on their own. They wouldn't go to counseling. They wouldn't get hormones. They wouldn't have surgery, obviously. It would just move on their own. Let's go to the next slide. And so what you'd find is this. American Psychological Association has a handbook on sexuality and the like. They report the bulk, the vast majority, 75, sometimes more than that, 80% of people who experience transgenderism move through this on their own. They don't go to counseling. They don't have therapy. They don't have any treatments. DSM points out you're not born this way. There is no genetic cause to this, so you can't argue, well, it's all biological, right? But here's the fear factor. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, points out that 15% of transgender youth will attempt suicide compared to 3% of the youth population. Williams Institute reports it at 41%. And so to understand what's going on, there are counselors who are coming along parents who has a child who identifies as opposite sex. And they say, well, if you don't want your child to kill themselves, you better let them do what they want. Change their name, change their pronouns, change their biological sex. The reality is this is not the case for every person with transgenderism. But the fear factor is your child's going to kill himself, so you better do it. Just go with it, right? When it comes to treatment, the idea of counseling was used for decades, and that's why the DSM said, well, it was gender identity disorder, and then they changed the terminology, gender dysphoria. Next slide. And so what would you do? You'd look at what's the cause, the underlying, is it trauma? Is it autism? Is it depression? Is it anxiety? What is it, right? Now, Family Research Council points out 20 states have banned this, even if the child wants it. It's the same thing that you saw with homosexuality. Homosexuality used to be treated. There were 15 different treatments, according to the American Psychological Association. They ranged in, quote-unquote, success anywhere from 37 to 77%. Reparative therapy was normally the most successful. Let's talk about your same-sex parent. So if it's a boy, let's talk about your relationship with your dad. If it's a girl, let's talk about your relationship with your mom. Let's talk about that in reparative therapy and find out what was it like. And so you'd find oftentimes the boy or the girl would say with their same-sex parent, they never loved me, they never expressed affection, I never could please them, nothing was ever good enough, I didn't understand what it was to be male, female, whatever. And so what are they doing? They're looking for the love and acceptance they were supposed to get from their same-sex parent in the arms of a same-sex individual down the road. And there's no amount of sexual activity that's going to replace that missing, lost love. And so that's what reparative therapy does. Well, now you see that same thing. No, you can't counsel. You can't help people deal with this. They're born that way, right? It's the same mentality here, right? On a physical level, there are people who are saying what we could do is take estrogen and give it to boys. We could take testosterone, give it to girls, and seek out a solution on a chemical level to adjust their bodies. So the Reuters research pointed this out. The Food and Drug Administration, FDA, has not approved the use of these puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones given out in gender clinics. But now it's distributed all over the place, all right? So again, we've got to know this. And all this is researched, and if you want the outline, I can give you all the sites, and you can check this all for yourself, all right? There's no long-term research on what happened once I got the cross-sex hormones or the puberty blockers. Because again, this is relatively new in the human experience. But because there were no gender clinics 15 years ago, again, there's no longitudinal studies on what are the effects of distributing the cross-sex hormones, the puberty blockers, the whole nine yards. What we've got, next slide, is short-term information, and it's not good. And so, again, it would make sense that, yeah, you're putting stuff into your body that it wasn't meant to have, all right? And so, yeah, the consequences are going to be dire. So, again, you can know more if you want to know more. When it comes to the chemical solution, next slide, England, Sweden, Finland, Europe has applied the brakes and has pretty much stopped. You know, sometimes we'll talk about best practices. What are best practices in a classroom? Well, what are best practices at the Tavistock Clinic in London, the largest transgender clinic in the world? They have shut that down in England because they realized, what are we doing here? It's not helping these people, even though we were providing them the cross-sex hormones, the puberty blockers, and the surgery. And so what England, Sweden, Finland, what Europe has realized is this. This is a phase. Why don't we employ watchful waiting, what they call watchful waiting? Why don't we just see how things progress before we rush to judgment and go, here you go, take this, we'll do surgery next week, right? In England, they have now encouraged parents, don't change the name, don't add new pronouns. It's a phase. So historically, that's what we saw. Little boys, 2 to 4, the bulk of them, 75, 80% move on their own. They don't go through this. So why are we doing this? And what we're going to see is the reason we do this is there's a lot of money to be made. Dr. Paul McHugh, if you want to read someone who was at the forefront of sex change operations, Dr. Paul McHugh is someone you can look up. So he has written about this because he was at Johns Hopkins, next slide, the first to perform a sex reassignment or sex change surgery in the U.S. Now, they stopped doing that. They were at the forefront of this. And then they stop. So he talks about this because of his experience and his knowledge and, again, best practices. Why? They found out their patients were no better off psychologically or socially after they had gone full transition male to female or female to male, right? What we're going to see is this. Sweden, that has the largest comprehensive study of people who have fully transitioned, there's still a 19 times greater suicide attempt than the general public. So if that's not best practices, let's stop. So that's why Europe has stopped. McHugh is saying, let's not do this. We realize that Johns Hopkins, it's not beneficial. Let's not do this. Now, he retired a couple of years ago. What has Johns Hopkins done? They've reinstated sex change operations. Next slide. I appreciate this analogy, and I think it's one that we can all wrap our brains around and use as an analogy. Dr. McHugh says this, if I have a patient with an eating disorder, anorexia, if they identify as overweight, would it be ethical, would it be right for me to remove healthy tissue to lessen their body mass and give them what they identify as? They need to see that they're healthier now because they feel they identify as overweight. He goes, we would never do that. You don't take away healthy tissue. So why would we do that with the gender dysphoria issue? Let's go to the next slide. I mentioned before, there's a tremendous amount of money to be made in this. When you listen to people who have worked at clinics who've said, a child comes in, we'll have a session with them, it could be up to 30 minutes, And then there you go. We'll write the prescription, and they can get the puberty blockers, they can get the cross-sex hormones, and head their way towards surgery. Why? There's a tremendous amount of money to be made by this, right? Tucker Carlson, a couple of weeks ago, interviewed a gentleman. Same research. You can check it out in his episodes. I think it's episode 28 from last week. Take a look at By the Numbers. If a guy's going to get estrogen injections, thousands of dollars per year. Same for the testosterone gels for the females, thousands of dollars per year. And if a teenager would undergo full transition and surgery, hundreds of thousands of dollars, all right? And so again, there's money to be made. And when you hear people admitting what we're doing, we're taking advantage of people in their situation for the sake of cash, all right? I think back to what Jesus says. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. And that's what we do. Our idols are our finances. On the screen is Walt Heyer. His name is spelled H-E-Y-E-R, H-E-Y-E-R. Walt Heyer is someone who can talk experientially about transgenderism, born biologically male, fully transitioned to female. Now he is biologically, surgically transitioned back to male. So he has undergone hundreds of surgeries, experienced so much of this, so he understands it. And as a Christian, he can talk about the scripture and the science through all of these experiences. He points out, he offers people help because he's dealt with the regret and fully transitioned back to male. Notice the Reddit group in 2020 had about 7,000 people in it. Go to the next slide. Now there's a huge increase in people who went down the path of transgenderism and regretted it. And so the reality is you tell a lie loud enough, long enough, often enough, people will believe it. And so here's the lie. You can change your sex. You're born in the wrong sex. You're born in the wrong body. And yet when people charge down that path, so many regret it. Let's go to the next slide. Dr. Lisa Littman at Brown published one of the first research studies on gender dysphoria and pointed out there seems to be a change that's happened in culture. Again, historically, it was little boys, 2 to 4 years old. Now, a lot of times, it's mostly girls in the teenage years, all right? It's not women. So again, as we were talking about earlier, you're seeing it in the young population, but not in the adult overall, all right? And so what they found out was this. You saw England with this huge jump in teenage girls seeking transition. In her research, next slide, here's what she found. Normally, it was one girl in a friend group who transitioned, and then others started to follow suit. And so think about it. What do we do when we're younger, right? When we're with our teenage friends, right? They listen to this music. They talk this way. They dress this way. We adopt what our friends are doing, and it seems to be that same mentality. Let's go to the next slide. So parents were reporting in the study, the vast majority of them, one of my child's friends transitioned, and then everybody in the friend group started to follow suit. Like a contagion, where we just now suddenly struggle, we all are having eating disorders, or we're all listening to this music, or talking this way, or dressing this way. But sadly, the bulk of the parents said, my child is now more popular. What Walt Heyer and others will point out is, when you transition, you're incredibly popular. But the minute you detransition, nobody knows you anymore. They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to tell your story. And that's why Walt Heyer and others would say, no, I will listen. And there's a lot of us out here who we're not culturally trendy right now, but we're human beings who've realized we've gone down the wrong path. Sadly, this is what the bulk of the parents noted. My child had already been diagnosed with some mental disorder. So that's why, what's the ministry here? We minister on body, soul, and spirit levels, all right? We need Christ as our Savior on a soul level. If there's depression, if there's anxiety, if there's other issues, that has to be addressed. If I break my arm, if I cut my thumb, that's got to be addressed on the physical level. So again, all those things are issues that could be addressed, but now in the rush towards money and profit, we just offer different solutions. Here's cross-sex hormones, puberty blockers, here's surgery. Let's go with the next slide. So as I'm addressing future teachers, I encourage them on a couple of different levels some things to do, all right? And so for all of us, again, this is uncharted waters, all right? So what do? Ephesians 4:15, we're always called to speak the truth in love, all right? you speak the truth in love. If you've read Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher, Rod Dreher, Live Not by Lies. What Dreher did was this, and I'll mention him next week as well. He interviewed those Christians who lived in communist bloc countries in Eastern Europe, all right? So they're behind the Iron Curtain. And he talked to these Christians who survived and thrived in communist nations where the atheism was so brutal, there was a crackdown on Christians for what they believed. And he wanted to find out, how did you survive through this? And so what he learned was these people decided, we're going to do what Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote about in his essay, Live Not by Lies. And that's why Rod Dreher entitled his book, Live Not by Lies. You should read it. It's excellent. He said, we are not going to support things that are not true. We are going to be willing to suffer for it, but we will not agree with things that are not true, and we will not abide by these things, all right? And so speak the truth in love. Again, for these future teachers, what should we do? You need to find out, what do the parents want? So when the boy says, I want to be addressed by this girl's name and I want girl pronouns, well, let me check with your parents and we'll see about that, all right? And so what's amazing is you're hearing now of schools that are hiding this information from parents. And you're seeing this in school board meetings. You're hearing about this when parents find out, my child comes to school and against my knowledge and my wishes, had their gender-affirming care established with the gender-affirming closet where there were clothes they could change into to cross-dress. And then there was tucking tape to be available for the boys to tuck down their penis. And then fake penises for the girls to put on to enable themselves to appear more masculine. And so these gender-affirming closets are supposed to be these nurturing situations, but we're not going to tell mom and dad because they don't support you. And so when you cannot distribute aspirin in a school without parental knowledge, what is going on? And that's why you're seeing parents up in arms over this, and yet the charge is these people are terrorists, these people are fascists, and so this is the time in which we live. Next slide. Again, if the child is talking about this, we need to get to the root of the issue, right? And so with school counselors, or like at Milwaukee Lutheran, we used Christian Counseling Services. Dr. Yonke and others were serving there. We need help with this issue because it's beyond what I'm capable of as an art teacher or a religion teacher or whatever, all right? On the screen is a picture of a man who identifies as a dragon. I don't know if anyone has seen this man. He has tattooed his face. He's had horns implanted in his forehead. And so he identifies as a dragon. Google, a number of years ago, had a diversity seminar for their employees. And they had two speakers talking about diversity. One identified as a dragon. The other identified as a building. And so you cannot make this up, but what's going on? There are people who are, quote unquote, plurals. And so if you Google plurals and look this up, it's people who identify sometimes as imaginary creatures. I'm a vampire. I'm an alien. I'm another human being. I'm an animal. Or I'm an inanimate object. Next slide. Normally you'd say, well, we have dissociative identity disorder here. Or is it simply their truth, their reality, and them expressing what they feel inside? And so that is the time in which we live. Do you remember the Truth Project video series? The Truth Project video series? If you go back and watch that, that's 20 years old now. Dr. Oz Guinness says in one of the 12 episodes, we're going to reach a point 15, 20 years from now, God only knows, where we'll reach a point of no return. And so that's what happens. When you go down this Truth Project message that there is no truth, and so that's what Truth Project was all about. There is truth. There is truth. No, there is no truth. It's what I believe. He goes, you can't live this way. Eventually, the wheels come off the cart, all right? You reach a point of no return. Well, what's going on? I think we're living through that now, right? And so I talk about this with our kids where we talk about the different educational theories, social reconstructionism and all that kind of stuff, postmodernism, that subscribes to these things. Rachel Dolezal identified as female, but she identified as something else. And I don't know if you recall her. She was part of an NAACP chapter out west. She was part of an NAACP chapter out west. She identified as black. All right, she identified as African-American. And so eventually her parents brought forth her birth certificate and said, no, Rachel's white, we're white, okay? But she identified as black. And so what I asked the kids is this: what are you going to do when someone identifies as some quote-unquote other ethnic group, race, whatever term you want to use? In the middle is Emil Rodelbaum. I don't know if you remember his story. He identified as younger. He was 69 years old, and he asked the Netherlands to remove 20 years from his birth certificate because he identified as 49, not 69. Now, his rationale was this: if I'm 49 years old, I'm much more marketable in the job sphere and in the dating sphere. How can you withhold that desire of me to be more marketable for a potential mate and then a potential career? The government said no. You've been around the sun 69 times, you're 69 years old, end of story, all right? In the middle is Stephanie Walsh. Stephanie Walsh in the middle, bottom picture, is biologically male and chronologically 54 years old. Stephanie identifies as a 9-year-old girl. The couple on either side of him has adopted him so he can play as a girl, because that's what he is. And so what I say to my future teachers is this: what are you going to do when Stephanie Walsh wants to enroll in your class? As for me and my house, I speak the truth in love. I will not live by lies. And so what I'm encouraging the kids is, you better know what you believe, and you better be willing to stand up for it. And when you start interviewing for jobs, you need to do your homework and research. What does that district teach? What does this state mandate? Because there are some states, no, this is the way it is. Are you in or out? You're not transphobic, are you? Let's go to the next slide. Let's think biblically. All right, so we looked at the science. Let's look at the scripture of it. Let's think biblically. Well, you know in Genesis, what does God do? He creates everything. And then he says clearly, male and female. That's it. There's two. Next slide. God instituted marriage. It's not something we established as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's not something that we developed in America. It's right from the jump. God creates marriage. Next slide. The closest verse you can get to transgenderism is out of Deuteronomy 22. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. What we're doing is we're rejecting God's design, his order, his creation, and going, you're wrong, I'm right. And again, we make God out to be a liar. It's 1 John chapter 1. Someone's wrong here. It's not me. It's God, all right? And so that's why the issue is what it is. Take a look at how we can care. As all of us live our lives here, we need three things. We need Christ, we need counseling, and we need a community, right? So we need Christ. We need both law and gospel. Next slide. We need to understand what his will is. So until people see the law and hear this word, all right, we're just going to continue to go down our path and do what we want. So the law has to be shown that people be convicted and understand, now here's the gospel. You're forgiven in Christ, all right? Now go and sin no more. Next. There's all sorts of issues that all of us have, all right? So again, we can talk about transgenderism, we can talk about gambling problems, we can talk about pornography, we can talk about whatever it is, right? All of us are struggling with different things, all right? And so we need to have counseling available to help, all right? And sometimes we turn to our pastor, and other times we turn to licensed professionals, other times we just turn to one another, all right? But understand this, basic biology is not bigotry, all right? To talk about XX and XY chromosomes, to talk about gonads, to talk about genitalia, this is the creation that God established, the order you see in the animal kingdom, all right, in the plant kingdom. So again, it's not bigotry. And then finally, we need to understand there's people want to fit in, all right? So what do we offer? Do we offer, hey, you can just do whatever you want? Or is it, let me help you with what's going on? Just to illustrate, when I was teaching down in Texas, I was at Salem Lutheran in Tomball, Texas. And our pastor said, we're going to have a ministry to the homosexual community in Houston. And a lot of us had questions. Why are we doing this? And he said, you've got to understand there's a huge, because it's the fourth largest city in the United States, huge homosexual population in Houston. And we have an opportunity to minister. He said, what would you do? What would you do? This happened to me. He said, I was leaving church after an evening meeting, and I was going out to my car, and a man walked up to me. The man's arm was in a sling. His face was all bruised and battered. And he said, Pastor, would you help me? And Pastor Doug Dahmer said, of course I'll help you. What's going on? And he goes, Pastor, I'm a gay man who meets with other men for anonymous sex in an area of Houston. And there's a lot of guys who are into very sadomasochistic sex, and they were very rough and beat me up while we were engaging in activities, and they broke my arm and beat my face in. I got released from the hospital. And then he said this, Pastor, would you help me? I want to go back to be with those men. And so Pastor Dahmer turns to us at Salem Lutheran and says, now, church, what do? Do we say, get off our property and don't you ever step foot here again? There is no hope for you. Or do we say, well, yes, I'll take care of you. And we're going to get you bandaged up, and then we're going to send you right back to those men because that's what you want. And there's nothing wrong with that. He said, we're not going to go to either one of those extremes. We all need Christ. We all need counseling. And we all need to have a community that cares. And so when you look at this issue, whatever it is, we can all see, yeah, this is what we should be about. Let's not put our heads in the sand. Let's understand the times and know what to do. All right? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the science that shows clearly what's going on. But most of all, Lord, I thank you for your inspired and errant word. And Lord, I pray that we would speak the truth in love and that we would not be ashamed, we would not be afraid, but just understand there are hurting people, but there's help. There's help available in you. There's help available in counseling. There's help available in communities that reach out and care. Lord, we thank you for this time. We give you all the praise and glory, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.